You're listening to the Jason Greger Show podcast, brought to you by Lakewood Chev. Discover your new roads in a Chevrolet this September. Rates as low as 0% for 84 months OAC. Right now at LakewoodChev.com. AJ Jakubek from TSN in Ottawa joined us. And AJ, I'm sure Ottawa fans were viciously typing, searching, who? Who did we get? Like, you know, Tierney and DeMello are obviously NHL players. And, you know, Norris, if you're a draft junkie, know that he was a 19th overall pick. But, you know, I'm sure they were thinking they might have got somebody. But usually when you trade the best player, you at least on the surface, you lose the trade.
Yeah, good day for Hockey DB, right? Here's the reality with the Ottawa Senators. And I know we've talked about this quite a bit over the last year because the last year has been a complete mess. But when it comes to the Ottawa Senators, you can talk about the minutia of did Erik Karlsson want to sign a long-term contract? Did they offer him the deal? Was he actually negotiating in good faith? All that kind of stuff that we heard back and forth today from various press conferences and various fans. But the reality is this. Over the last decade, the Ottawa Senators' best players have wanted out. And you can go back to Danny Heatley. And Danny Heatley was vilified in Ottawa. But for whatever reason, Danny Heatley wanted out. And, you know, that was one of those ones where it's like, okay, at the time you think, well, kind of like Pronger in Edmonton. Heatley's the bad guy. Sens are the good guys. And now you're a decade later and you say, okay, well, Heatley wanted out. And then Alfredson wanted out. And then Spezza wanted out. And Kyle Turris wanted out, and Danny Alfredson wanted out again for a second time as an executive, and now Karlsson wants out, and you know, who knows whether Stone or Duchesne want to be here. I mean, if Stone wanted to be here that bad, probably would have signed more than a one-year deal, right? So I think the reality is for the Ottawa Senators, with their ownership and with Eugene Melnyk, that's the common denominator. Star players don't want to stay long-term and play for the Ottawa Senators as long as he is the owner. And until that changes, there's not a lot of hope for this franchise.
AJ, how is the return being received there in Ottawa?
Not well. Not well at all. I think, you know, some people have made the point of saying that they gave up more for Matt Duchesne than they got for Erik Karlsson. So I'm taking a bit more of a wait-and-see approach. I think, you know, on the surface, it's pretty obvious that we know by far the best player in the trade is Erik Karlsson. I want to see how some of these young kids pan out, but, you know, this is not a, you know, a Cody Glass with Vegas. This is not a Miro Heiskanen with Dallas. And part of the problem was they weren't getting those guys either, right? I mean, that's the reality. They weren't getting the A-level prospects from any of these teams, whether it's Tampa or Dallas or Vegas or whoever. So, you know, I've heard good things on Bolsters, the Latvian kid, you know, just talking to some people in the Western Hockey League. And, you know, he's got a chance to, I think, be a pretty good player, maybe a top six forward down the road. And, you know, Norris, I mean, he's a first-round pick, so there's something there with him as well. I mean, I don't really care when, you know, it was brought up both on our radio station and in the press conference about how Norris is, you know, the best friend of Brady Tkachuk. Well, okay, that's fine. I don't care if he's his best friend, brother, his dad, his carpet cleaner, or whatever. I mean, how does he play the game? That's the bottom line. So, to me, and I think that's what really kind of sticks in the craw of fans is when you hear that type of thing. Well, you know, and that's the first thing that's coming out of your mouth. Okay, well, yeah, that's great. He's his best friend. Can he play? That's the only thing that matters, right? So, in the end, I mean, in the short term, you know, this is a deal that isn't going to look very good. And I think they're going to be fine up front. You know, you've got Duchesne, you've got Stone, you've got, I mean, bad news today on Pageau, if the reports from Renaud Lavoie are true. I mean, that just adds major insult to injury if he's got an Achilles injury and is out. You know, that's basically a season ender if that's the case. But, you know, you've got some guys that can play up front. You've got some really good kids, too, and add these two to the mix of, you know, I think Drake Batherson's going to be a heck of a player. Alex Formanton's got a nice future. Logan Brown, I think, is more of a project, but there's high-end skill there. You've got Colin White. You've got Philip Schlappick. So, and of course, you've got Brady Tkachuk. But, you know, again, that's eight guys that, you know, have some promise, but, you know, they still haven't played regularly in the league. So how much can you really hope to that three or four of those guys can even come in and be productive right away. So the reality is, when it comes to Senators fans, I think overwhelmingly not happy. And, this is not going to help, on the back of a season where you had Melnick out signs going up around town.
AJ Jakubek from TSN 1200 in Ottawa joins us, covers the Sens every day. And AJ, man, I'm curious, the trade, how that was received, but what about the Melnick video that came out earlier this week? How was that received?
Yeah, probably, I don't want to say worse than the Carlson trade, but I honestly didn't find one positive result. No, that's not true. That's not true, because I tweeted something about it, about how I thought it was a horrifically bad idea. And I think there were two people that responded to me that they didn't see what was so bad about it. So that's fine. But, I mean, just in terms of – it was one of those – like, when I was watching it, it was – a lot of times you get affected. It's natural, right? Everyone's kind of ripping something, and you might go into it affected and expecting this to be – bad right off the bat. But I happened to click on it right away, so I didn't even know, good, bad, or indifferent, what the reaction was going to be. And it was honestly, my reaction watching that thing was just like, I just kind of had that WTF look on my face for about 5 minutes straight, like, is this really happening? And I wasn't even sure to really think if it was bad, good, or indifferent. I was just wondering, like, is this really happening? Did they really send this out? And then you kind of look at the responses, and it was, it was negative from Ottawa, but that's expected because everything's been negative in Ottawa towards Melnick. But then when you see people from around Canada and North America and people who cover hockey and people who don't even care about hockey, you're completely ridiculing it. It was like, okay, this is pretty much 99.9%. Everyone thinks this was a terrible idea to have Mark Borowiecki asking questions of the owner. And, of course, he had that one back. How's the dressing room? I mean, can you imagine that? The owner's asking Borowiecki, how's the dressing room? Like, I mean, tell me, Struds. I mean, as an ex-player, what if you're watching that video and you know that, Boro, I mean, he's a good teammate. He's probably kind of like a guy like a you, right, back in the day. But imagine watching that video and saying, I'm going to play for this team at the start of the year. I can't even imagine what the players were thinking. Just the embarrassment of what's going on in this organization.
Well, I spoke about it yesterday because I felt that would have been me for sure. They would have said, hey, can you come do an interview with Brian Burke? I'd be like, what? Well, but you have no choice, right? You're kind of that foot soldier. You got to go and do it. And it was just really awkward. And, from a distance and from what I hear, the owner there is really a challenge to work for and to be around, the way he runs his team. And I have a hard time that I said it earlier. I think at least two, if not three, of those stud players that are there, Carlson being one, already gone, Duchesne and Stone, I can't see any of them being in this lineup next year unless they get massively overpaid by Ottawa.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the only possibility maybe is if they come out and surprise everybody, right? Pull a New Jersey or a Colorado and sure. Just, because we saw how bad Colorado was 2 years ago, and I don't think anyone saw that turnaround, at least as quickly as it happened. And so I guess there's a possibility of that happening and both of them or even one of them decides to re-sign. But I look at this blue line again. I think there's some promise up front. There's a couple of good young defensemen on the back end, Thomas Chabot most notably. I think Christian Wolanin came in and did a real good job and showed that he's got a chance to be a real good NHL defenseman going forward. And Christian Yaros is another player that I've liked, from camp and seeing him in a little bit. I went to Belleville a couple of times to watch games last year, and I think he's going to play. He's a pain in the rear end to play against and a right-shot defenseman that is going to play one day. But beyond that, I look at this blue line and I say, okay, Cody Ceci's already playing too many minutes as it is. Mark Borowiecki's a great number six defenseman, but you don't want him playing any higher in the lineup. Ben Harper and Dylan DeMello, I think are big question marks to me and more depth guys than anything. You've got Chabot, but how much are you going to play him 28 minutes a night? He looks like a guy that you want to play 20 minutes a night as a second-year player, not 25 plus. And, you know, what does that leave you with? So, and Chris Weidman's a guy that, you know, I think can play more minutes, can maybe be a top four guy, has shown that he can move the puck and be good on the power play and that sort of thing. But he's coming off a major injury, a major hamstring injury. So there's a lot of question marks on this blue line. And, you know, I guess the good news is I don't think the East is very good in the bottom half. You know, you've got Detroit and Buffalo, and, you know, I don't know what's going on in Carolina, both on and off the ice, and the Islanders, how good are they going to be without Tavares? And, you know, so you've got some bad teams in the East. Montreal's another. So they might be able to at least save face and not have that pick be, you know, and again, in the lottery, you never know, but maybe get up to 20th in the league, which to me would be a heck of a season. But again, with that blue line, it's a bit of a stretch. And boy, especially with some of the reaction we've heard and just some of the people we've talked to over the course of the summer, I don't think there's going to be a lot of people in the seats this year. So that's going to be another big story to watch over the course of the season.
Hey, it's always good to catch up with you. Something tells me your post-game shows this year are going to be hot a lot of the times. Have fun.
Well, the good news is I don't have to do those until at least December. So I just have to worry about the football team, which can't score points or move the ball or anything like that the last couple of weeks. So, yeah, not good times in Ottawa sports these days, that's for sure.
Thanks, H. Appreciate it.
All right. Cheers, guys.